Okay, we're finishing up Perek Vav. And we are on, top of Samach Tes. We'll review that part. Hunigash l'rav lishol she'ela b'alocha o b'anhaka. Someone approaches the rabbi to ask from him a shaila in halacha or in conduct. A question of what the law is or what, how he should act in a certain situation, what decision to make. A love ladas, he needs to know ki ein ze dover pashu klal u klal shekabos etshuva amitis. You have to know that it's not so simple at all that the person will get the proper response. Chiminayin lo sheba emes ties yat l'shmaya l'osa rav shucha l'shma m'mena samilu hamitis. How does he know, truly, that the rabbi has divine assistance in order to be able to hear from him the words in truth, and in order to render a proper decision? Again, when you ask a shaila, there's a lot of things that revolve around asking the shaila. Number one, first of all, there's more than what he's saying here. He's just giving one example. Sometimes the person has to be able to word the question properly. The rabbi only knows the information you give him. If you don't give him all that information, he'll only make a decision based on the information he knows. Sometimes you don't mention it, and then he needs siyata d'shmaya to maybe ask you a question, and that will bring out a little bit more information than what you had been offering initially, and that changes the complexion of the question. Sometimes the question is not usually in halacha that you can usually come to the answer in halacha. But when it comes to eitzes and advice and things like that, sometimes it's very difficult. There's this, you know, one way it may not be any better than the other way, and it's very difficult to give a precise answer. So to that, you have to hope that the rabbi has divine assistance from Hashem, that he reaches the right conclusion. So therefore, a lovely spalo, person should daven eifo, beforehand, he should say, I want to know, Hashem, what is your opinion in this matter? Right? The husband wants to go, the wife wants to go away for Pesach, to go to Miami, the husband doesn't. Right? So that's the Shiloh. And they can't come to any amicable solution between themselves, and it's getting very difficult at home. So that's an example. You go to the rabbi. Rabbi will give you advice based on hearing, you know, both sides of the story, knowing the family. So then he can give you. So there is a Torah solution to that. There's a Torah solution to every question in your life. There is. You have to be able to know Torah well enough to see how your question has already been addressed in one form or another, and what principles are there that can enable you to respond. Where should you go for Pesach? So the first question the rabbi will ask you is, well, what's the purpose of Pesach? Right? What's the purpose of Pesach? What are you trying to accomplish on Pesach? So the wife will say, I want to relax. The husband will say, I want my wife to cook a meal. The rabbi will say, both of you don't know what Pesach's all about. Right? That's part of the answering the shaila is educating people to hear the answer. So we've got to spend a half an hour telling them what Pesach is. Pesach is cheres is freedom. We're trying to access freedom. Start bring out a certain aspect of achieving freedom, blah, blah, blah. Start with that. Then, of course, once he starts talking about, then what may very well happen is the wife starts spilling out. Then you say, well, do you have the finances for this? And the wife starts telling the rabbi that the husband never made a decent living all the time they were married. And then other areas will start to open up. And then you start spilling into marriage. And then what does God expect from a marriage? There's all kinds of questions that are happening. Then you say, do you really want to know what God has to say in this matter? Or you just want to know who's going to win? So there's all kinds of questions that have to be asked. But ultimately, what you get to the point and say, okay, this is what God wants. So it's sometimes it could be, yeah, okay, you should go to Florida for Pesach, because maybe the Shalom Bayis is at such a situation where the husband has to do that in order to help the Shalom Bayis, provided that there's the money there. Or those, the rabbi will say, no, there were really other issues, and really the wife isn't getting enough affection from the husband. And if he got enough affection from the husband, then she really wouldn't want to go away. And it's all kinds of questions that have to be dealt with. You know, can you properly celebrate Pesach somewhere else? Are there families or this? There's a million factors that have to be looked at. But the bottom line is there is God's decision of what is the right thing to do in that situation. So you got to pray to God, Hashem, I want to know what's your opinion on this matter. Because atot sivisa alai b'torascha, you commanded me in your Torah. This is part of the prayer. You commanded me in Torah. It's in Pirkei Avos. Asei lecha rav histalek min asafik. Make for yourself a rav and remove all doubts. We have so many doubts of what to do in life. So you have to establish one rav to remove those doubts. And not five ravs to remove those doubts. Because, you see, this is exactly... If you say this prayer, you will not fall in the trap of shopping around for the rabbi who will give you the answer that you want to hear. Which many people do. You know, just like if you know, you could change this, asei lecha rofe, you know, v'istalek min asafik. Establish yourself one doctor, and then you will remove all doubts. You know, why are you supposed to have a family doctor? Why are you supposed to have a regular doctor? Because that doctor knows your history. Right? You go to the doc, you've been with you for 20 years, and you start telling the doctor that, you know, you're having some pains over here and over there. The doctor already knows. He knows the old football injury from 10 years ago. He knows this, he knows that. He knows you're a nervous type of person, and you have too much stress, and the stress brings certain things on. And you think you got a major condition, and he listens, and this, he says, it's just a little stress, take it easy, gotta lose a few pounds, take care of that, everything's gonna be fine. Well, another doctor is going to say, we have to do an MRI, we have to do this, we have to do a million one things, and because he has to now learn what the patient is, he doesn't have 20 years of information at his disposal, the patient doesn't remember to tell all the things from the last 20 years, and very well, number one, at best, you're wasting a lot of time with a lot of tests that aren't necessary, and worst that can often happen is he'll make the wrong decision, because he'll make only on what he knows. He doesn't know the history. So the same thing, like there's a rabbi who knows your history over time. He knows your history. He knows what's going on in the family. And a lot of times people go to rabbis, just ask questions. Like I say, if somebody comes to me, I don't know who they are, and they ask me a question, so I say, who's your rabbi? Well, Rabbi so-and-so. So I say, go to him. I'm not going to answer the question, because more than likely they're trying to get a different answer. And they're going to say, well, Rabbi Michalowicz said I could do this. But I was much younger. I wasn't so smart. So a couple times I did that, then I learned that that was not a good thing to do. You figure you want to help them. That's not the help. They have a different rabbi. Unless even if they say I'm uncomfortable to ask them the question, I say, see, ask them anyway. So what's your uncomfortable? That's when you're supposed to ask them, when you are uncomfortable. Because there's a reason for being uncomfortable. So that's when you're supposed to ask. Right. So therefore, when you have the one rabbi, there's no doubt. So people have made a mistake. The mistake's like this, because nowadays they say, if you go to one doctor, he doesn't tell you what you like, go for a second opinion. You know, that's predicated on the fact that doctors are not going to necessarily give you the best answer the first time around. You know, okay, so it could be not every doctor is the best doctor. It's possible. So maybe on the rare occasion a second opinion changes. And if it changes, then you still not know what to do. I'm not saying you can't. I'm not saying it's wrong to do that. Right? When you're dealing with going to a Rav, there's no inyan of second opinion. It's part of halacha. You ask a shalat of one, you're not allowed to ask another one. And if you go to a rabbi and he asks you, have you gone to someone? Yeah, I went to so-and-so. I want to hear your opinion. I'm not going to answer. That's it. I'm not answering. You ask someone. And if you've asked one, you go to another one, forget it. You don't take another answer. Why? Because if you're going to a Rav, the Rav, he has already the Siyata Dishmaya. He knows your case. It's not that much different, one rabbi or another. Now, if you're talking about different philosophies, you're a Hasidic Yid, and you go to a Hasidic Rebbe, then you go to a non-Hasidic Rebbe, you're going to get a different opinion. But that's not the opinion for you. It's not the opinion for you. You have to know what your neshama is, what lifestyle you have. There's a lot of aspects. A lot of people in this community, they could go ask a rabbi in Lakewood, a certain shaila, he's going to give you an answer. It's not appropriate for who and what you are. It's just not appropriate for who and what you are. What should I do? Just learn Torah. That's it. You know, that's not going to be your solution. So there is this chemistry, you know, and there is this understanding that the Rabbi Nishlam has brought you and this rabbi together because this is the one that will know you and understand you and share the Torah. It's the rabbi that also should be the rabbi you're learning Torah from, because there is this spiritual connection that exists and there is this spiritual assistance that God provides. And once, and you have the one rabbi, you get the answer, and that's it. And once you have the answer, say, okay, this is what the Rabbi Shalom has wanted. See, like I said, in a Bezdin, it works the same way. Just like in a Bezdin. Go to a Bezdin, Hashem assists a Bezdin to give the correct answer. Even if sometimes it's not the correct psak, but that's the psak that Hashem wants. We said this before, right? The Bezdin, even if they make a mistake, it's not a mistake. It's Hashem correcting something that needs to be corrected. So there's the same siyata d'shmaya that's in a rav that he gives advice, and sometimes, and it could be once in a while it's not right. That's also right. That's also right. You don't want it to be that he makes a blatant error. He is human. He is human. It's possible to err. But here's the point: it's possible to err. So what are you going to do? It's going to go to 10 rabbis, and then you're going to decide which one is the right answer. You know, you're going to ask a rabbi 500 questions in your life. He'll make two mistakes. So for that, you don't ask for the other 498. You know, then you're always in doubt. You're never sure what to do. You're never sure what to do. So you're saying, I want to remove all doubt. You know, it's interesting. You'd see people would be much more happier if they'd go and ask a rabbi. It's not because I have any ego and I need people to ask me more questions that are already being asked. All right, but you know, there's a famous saying of the rabbis: "Ein simcha ella kehataras asvekas." There is no joy greater than the removal of doubts. A person is not sure what they should do in life; they're not happy. They are not happy. You can't be happy because if you're not sure this is the right way, you're always thinking maybe this isn't right. Maybe I could have done better. And you're never happy if you're in doubt. You say, I don't know if I should have taken this program in university. I don't know if I really want to be this. So, you know, you're not going to make the right effort. You're not going to put your full heart in it. You say, I don't know if this woman is my barshert. You know, I don't know if I should learn this, I should learn that. If you don't have any confidence in what you're doing, you can't be happy in what you're doing. That's obvious. So you're not sure, should we do this, should we do that? I don't even know. So the idea is, just like the Mishnah says, make for yourself a rav and remove all doubts. Once you remove the doubts, then a simcha comes over you, because I know I got the das Torah, I got the opinion of Torah, and if that's what Hashem wants, that's the best thing. I'm doing now what Hashem wants. It could be, it might be a painful path, but if this is what Hashem wants, this is what Hashem wants, and then the joy comes back into the life. It's so important in marriage. If people just get this through their heads, you got a husband who's stubborn in this and a wife who's stubborn in that. You know, they just won't go to the rabbi because they're afraid. Once the rabbi says, then they lose, and they can't lose. I can't lose. If I lose, it's, you know, you don't understand the fact that you can't come to any agreement. You're both losers. You're both losers, and you see this time and again. Families, I'm not going to go to the rabbi. And you watch the disharmony in the family just grows. Because they're not, what are they really saying? I'm not willing to hear the word of Hashem. And what do you think the rabbi's going to say? He's going to make up a whole new thing. He's going to tell the husband, no, you have to stop yelling at your wife. And you tell the wife, you stop bossing around your husband. And you show him where the Rambam says, how you have to treat a husband, how you have to treat a wife. You know, they don't want to hear that. Neither of them want to hear what they have to do. They'd rather fight to the grave. They'd rather fight to the grave. As long as they survive. As long as they bury the other one. It was a successful marriage. I'm not even exaggerating. Right? It's a problem. It's an unbelievable problem. People just refuse to. They say, no, I'm not going to ask. I know what he's going to say. So what does that mean? I know what the rabbi's going to say. What are you saying? You're saying, I know what Hashem is going to say. And I don't want to know that I'm a sinner. So what are you doing? What games are you playing? You know, so this tefillah, it's more than this. You're supposed to daven that you have the courage to go and ask a shaila. You know, I've had people with a lot of courage. They ask shailas that were mamish, nogea, For Balei Tshuva, sometimes their shailas, you have to know if maybe they have to get divorced afterwards because of their previous lifetimes, of what they've, indiscretions they did, that according to Halacha they can't be married. And there are people who have the courage to come and ask a shaila. Come and ask a shaila. To know what is the Ratzon Hashem over here. See, that's already, if you, sometimes you have to daven to say that Hashem, have the courage to want to ask a shaila. That's a tefillah that comes before this tefillah. But when you're coming to ask the tefillah, you're saying, I want to know the will of Hashem, and there has to always be a little bit of siyata d'shmaya, that just because the rabbi gave the right answer the last 50 times to different people, doesn't mean to say that situation can arise, that the wrong psak will come out. It can't happen. Then you have to daven that the right psak should come out. And certainly, he's not putting it in here, the rabbi has to daven. The rabbi has to daven that he's able to give the right answer. That's part of it. That's bringing... All this is doing is bringing Hashem into the picture. Remember, that's all it's really doing. You're trying to say, okay, Hashem, I'm coming to you to find... First of all, once you're doing that, then all the ego goes down. And you're going, I just want to hear what Hashem has said. And Hashem says it. Finished. That's it. Maybe then a follow-up question. Okay, can you help me understand why I should be doing this? You're not going to be saying, no, I disagree with what you're saying because you don't know what you're talking about. It doesn't fit in. That's what has to realize. That's what all these tefillahs are doing. It's trying to put you in touch with Hashem as you're going through this issue. What it's really saying is, you know, we're it's not good that a husband and wife should be fighting over should they go away for Pesach or not. They have to put Hashem in the equation and say, okay, now really this marriage has three partners. And Hashem is a critical partner. We need to know his opinion in this matter. Of course, it's understood. You don't every time. You just sit down. You're sitting down there. Oh, where should we go for Pesach? You know, the first discussion. First minute. The wife says, it'll be nice if we went to Florida. The husband says, no, we're staying home. Then the wife immediately says, let's go to the rabbi. No, you don't do that. You first discuss it for a while. See if you can... You're meant to be able to work it out first. That's the optimal way. You can't ask everybody, should we go out for dinner or not? Let's call the rabbi. You should be able to solve certain issues. You should be able to solve certain issues. But there will invariably be issues that you can't solve. So the real question is, okay, we're having a disagreement here. But the real question is, how do we create the best Bayis Nemon between the two of us? How do we have the best Mishkan in this house? What will be the way of having the best Mishkan? Well, do you guys know anything about building a Mishkan? Not too much. So let's go to the rabbi. He'll tell us how to keep a Mishkan going. So that will underscore the entire relationship because you're bringing God into the equation. So therefore, you continue the prayer. Now we're going to the rabbi to hear what you, the Almighty, want. Mevakesh ani mimcha, I ask from you, shetami deni al dvar emes, that you stand us up to the word of the truth. Right. So people who never ask shailas, really what they're saying is the rabbi's not insulted. What's really happening is they're saying, God, we're not interested in your opinion. They're not saying it that way, but that's effectively what they're subconsciously saying. We're not interested in your opinion. Our marriage has nothing to do with you. The proof is we never ask any questions. And not even marriage. If it's not a marriage issue, should I do it? So it means my life has nothing to do with you, because whenever there's a question, I never have to ask a shiloh. And time and time again, I see people, they make such unbelievable mistakes, because they don't even think that it's something to ask. You don't even think that there's anything to ask. So they make mistakes, and they get themselves into all kinds of complicated situations. And then they come when things are really bad, and then it's almost impossible to help them sometimes. You don't really, there's always what to ask if you're thinking, not every minute, but if you're coming into a new situation, you're coming into, I don't know this way, I don't know that way, it's, you know. So then you finally just decide. And the worst thing is, you know, to go to friends who don't have any Torah knowledge and ask their opinion. You know, and that's totally destructive. So that's another part of where our prayers have to focus. Okay, going on. I'm surprised there's no questions on that. Okay, it's fine. Kishem Sharoim, just like we saw Anu Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakana tikkun tefillah lifnei alimut, just like we saw that Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakana, famous Mishnah in Maseches Brachos, he established a prayer before he would learn. And part of the prayer would say, Shaloi keshel bidvar halacha, I shouldn't stumble on any words of halacha. Shalomar al tami tor velo al tor tami, I shouldn't say on what is tami is tor and what is tor is tami. In other words, I should have a successful endeavor in learning. Hu adin b'chol dover v'dover sharam nigashav. That's the way it is in anything you approach. Yachtin lo tefillah bakasha. Always preface with a prayer, with a request. V'lav davka b'dvarim gedolim, and not only big things. Right? Hinei, kesh'adam ha'isa shidduch. Person's making a shidduch. Okay? And I'm telling you, I'm getting a lot of experience in this in the last year or so. Lots. Hu nigash l'kaisel amarv l'ispalo. Shash shidduch yala tov. You should go to the kaisel. You should daven. The shidduch should come out fine. Ready? Vadi shigam al shidduch nitzreches tefila. Certainly every shidduch needs prayer. Avol kol yom v'yom hu lo pachas mishidduch. But you know what? Every day, the decisions you make in life are no less important than a shidduch decision. In other words, what he's saying is, a big thing, getting married, that's a big thing. Man, I need Hashem's help for that. Right? It's true. It's true you need it. I'm gonna go to, he's saying the Kaisel, he's talking about people living in Yerushalayim. You know, that's a big thing. A big thing, you gotta die with Hashem. Or what's more common when guys' wives are in their ninth month of pregnancy and someone says, you know, I heard Epa's supposed to go to shul. These guys never come to shul. All of a sudden, mom and Shir Tzadikim, they're coming to shul because they think this is gonna be the magic cure that the baby will be fine. Okay, Baruch Hashem, they're going to shul. You know, that's a big thing. But all these little things in life that we're talking about, eating, going to a wedding, all these things, these little seemingly mundane, insignificant things, they're no less important than the shidduch. Because they're all for the same purpose. Are you bringing Hashem into your life or not? That's all the same thing. Nothing different. There's nothing too small to ask from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So Tzrikim L'kacha says, Kol HaChaim, you have to take your entire life, V'likshar Osam B'kesher Pashut L'Rabban Shalom. You have to tie your entire life with a simple connection to Hashem. Lo ledaver mitoch haskolos, not to talk from such deep intellectual concepts. Mitoch hashbonus, with all kinds of calculations. Umamori chazan, all kinds of words from the rabbis, statements from the rabbis, and all this deep highfalutin stuff. Mikoach pshatim varkovim, with all deep insights and combining one concept with another concept. That's not how you come to Hashem. When you're learning, you can learn deep. But when you're talking to Hashem, elamikoach anakuda pshuta nimsos belev, but come from the simple point that's found in the heart. Manakuda sheben medaber el aviv. From the point, from as a son, as a child speaks to a parent. Kesheben medabrim aviv, when a child is speaking to a father, who lo orech lasso cheshbonos umarochos, you don't make all these calculations. Schuyos vidstaktuyos, you know, merits and justifications. You know, my kids come to me and say, Abba can have $20. You know, so I don't go through all that. You know, it's so conniving. They say, you know, Abba, I did the dishes for a couple of weeks. You never paid me for it. And really, I deserve a little bit of money. I never asked. And I'm helping more than the other kids. So how about I need $20? You know, so I say, what for? It says, well, I do for this. That's it. And these whole long-winded things. Either the father says yes, or the father says no. The father says, you don't need it. Finished. You need it. You're going to get, what's the point? You see, if I go to a stranger, I want to collect money for the shul. I gotta give him all kinds of calculations, cause he ain't my father, I ain't his son. Why should he give me anything? I gotta give a whole proof, this and that, everything else. Right? But if your kid asks you, you love the kid, you want what's good for the kid, the kid's a reasonable kid. It's a simple request, that's all. Now if it's a wrong request, you get a simple no. And you don't have to get into a whole debate. If Abba said no, Abba said no, that's it. Abba knows best, and that's all. And it's no. You don't get this whole long arguments back and forth. It's the simplicity that of the words, and that's what hits. Because the father knows my kid wants it. That already is 90% of the way there. It's 90%. Only if there's a reason not to give, I won't give. In other words, the father's on automatic giving mode. Automatic giving. If whatever the kid needs, I'm going to give it. What he needs, not what he wants, what he needs. What you need is 95%, 100% for what you need. I'm always going to, I probably give it to you already. Right? So you might, something I may have not known or something has come up and now, okay, so it's simplicity. You don't make all kinds of comments. Who medaber me'os nekuda ava pshuta. He speaks from the point of simple love. Shaben medaber imaba. A father speaking to a son is speaking to a father. That itself is 99% of the request. So when you go to Hashem and you're asking for Hashem for any little thing, so of course. Says, you don't have to make, God knows this calculation. You don't have to, he's smart enough. He knows what you really want. And that simple request, that's what ties you with HaKadosh Baruch Hu throughout the entire day. Okay. What we're gonna conclude tomorrow is what are the two advantages? What are the two goals that are accomplished with this kind of prayer?